I'm Véronique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and a Mic podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi, everyone. We're back for our podcast. This is Véronique and Sylvia. So today we have a guest. Her name is Priscilla. She's an Atlantean high priestess of healing, golden light, and oracular vision with strong ties to Atlantis. So yeah, today we're going to talk about Atlantis. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, you're going to learn a lot today. So she has strong ties to Atlantis, Egypt, Greece, and all things galactic. Her love of ancient civilizations and their wisdom and magics has opened the gateway to understand the bridge between them and the great stars, nations of our universe. She's a teacher of all things Atlantean and seeks to restore the enduring love, light, and wisdom of golden Atlantis. So let's meet our high priestess and discover more about Atlantis. Hi, Priscilla. How are you today?
Thank you. Blessings, everybody. I'm mostly well. I said I'm dealing a little bit of a cold, but I said colds are to me about detoxing. So I'm detoxing some energy. It makes sense. Yeah. We're filming today during a solar eclipse.
Yes.
In a Mercury retrograde. So
exactly.
Lots of detoxing to happen. But always an honor to talk to more beautiful women and just bring our voices forward. For me as a spiritual teacher, I used to be a dance teacher and I thought I loved it until I started opening up into my spirituality. And, I'm just a teacher at heart, so I can't help but share the knowledge that, I gain and that I remember. And, I just love to help people understand that they're much more ancient than they know, that they're much more powerful than they believe. And there's a lot of wisdom that comes through when we connect to our own inner light. So I teach a large variety, but almost all of my teachings go back to Atlantis, which is amazing because it's literally connected to everything we do within this realm. So I'm always love questions. I always love when I get to talk about Atlantis. So trust me, who's ever tuning in, you will get a lot of knowledge. A lot of things will come through and you just sit back and enjoy and see what stimulates you and what activates you.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions, of course, about Atlantis. When I saw your post, you know, on Facebook, I was like, okay, what is this? Because I've always been fascinated with Atlantis and the story there and, you know, all the thing people talk about. They don't really know what happened, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. So they always... they don't make up things, but they always find, you know, ancient runes and things like that. And they're like, okay, that happened. They existed at that time. And after they got the water rose up and they disappeared. I mean, we don't really know what happened. But so when I saw your profile, I was like, okay, yeah, I need to talk to her. you just mentioned you were a dancer. So can you tell us a bit about your background?
I grew up in a family that loves dance, not the way I trained in dance, but they just love dance and they love music. And my parents are very creative. They're artists. They're not professional artists, but they are artists. And they just wanted to put me in something that gave me confidence. And so I think actually dance really relates to what I do now, because as you know, when you walk into the role of being a spiritual teacher, and in particular the role that I carry with Atlantis, it can put you in, it can make other people uncomfortable, and it can make you question yourself. But I have a lot of confidence from being on stage many hundreds of times. So to me, what I wear, they're not costume pieces. They're not, it's not stage. It is just showing my authentic self, but I'm not afraid to be my authentic self. I think growing up, I had a very harsh older brother that made me be strong, and a very supportive older sister that really backed me up. So I chose a family that was both going to challenge and support me, which they continue to do. And I was raised in a Catholic tradition, which what I do now makes my parents a little bit uncomfortable, even though they've come very far away in the last 10 to 11 years. But it's like kind of breaking down the programming of my family unit. You know, we all have different kind of programming. And I loved dance for a very long time. I started dancing when I was 5. I retired at 37, 38. I still choreograph. I have 2 young daughters that are competitive dancers. So I still choreograph for them. I'm a full-time dance mom as well. But dance has so many amazing things besides being a professional dancer. There's so many things it teaches you. Dedication, commitment, time management, flexibility, intention. So I think everything I learned in owning a dance studio transfers over to what I do now, because there's very little things that bother me. Dance moms can be, or dance parents can be, quite crazy and wild. So when you've been told all these terrible things about yourself for a long time, it no longer phases you. So I just, I believe in myself, and I believe in what I perceived my mission to be. And I just have a lot of fun doing what I do.
Were you like those dance men we saw on TV, you know, that, what's her name?
I have a few dance moms like that. That's not the majority of people I interacted with, but there's definitely some truth to that show. Like, some truth. And then it's exaggerated for television.
Yeah, right? It was really entertaining. I mean, my daughter was obsessed with that show for a while. So to go back to your spiritual side. So in your website, you talk about Reiki.
Yes.
And a lot of people are really interested in Reiki. So what led you to start Reiki?
Yeah, it was in 2000, right when you're in between competition season for as a dance teacher and recital season. And it's a lot of work. Like, I'd say I worked 80 hours a week easily, raising 2 young daughters. That would have been 1 and 3 at that time. I had multiple pregnancy losses in between those children. And I was just kind of, I felt like I was fracturing. I felt like, I said to myself, I don't know how people go crazy, but I'm getting close. I'm about to lose it. Like, I had so much pressure in my head that I felt like it was like something was just going to crack. And then I was like, that's it. I'm going to lose it. And my sister recommended Reiki. Now, this happened to be around the exact same time that my mother-in-law was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And it was just a lot happening. So I went to my first session of Reiki, and it literally changed my life, which I know for a lot of people, they do say that. And for some people, I didn't feel anything. But because I had gone through a very, 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 very difficult pregnancy loss in 2011, where I had a daughter who I lost at 16 weeks, and I was very, very connected to her. I loved this baby like as much as I love my children now. And I was very confused about what happened to her because of my Catholic upbringing, because I didn't have her baptized. My parents said that she was in like baby limbo, baby hell.
I don't believe in this.
I know. And it stressed me out. It stressed me out a lot. And so when I had my first Reiki session, the Reiki master that was giving me a healing, she saw my baby on my shoulder, and I didn't talk to her about it. And her name was Talia, and I held Talia when she ascended. I held her to my heart. And at that time, I remember thinking she's the size of an apple. And that apple is very key, because the Reiki practitioner was like, I see a baby on your shoulder who's the size of an apple. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, she wants to let you know that she's not anywhere but with you. And that it took away so much guilt and fear. And then she also mentioned about the chaos in my head. And she said, she's like, half of your brain, she's like, Priscilla, you're so confusing. I said, why? She goes, because half your brain is like 100, like 1,000 thoughts, 1,000 sentences, 1,000 things you have to do. She's like, what is that chaos? I said, that's my dance studio. And she's like, that's not healthy for you. You know, this is my life. And then she goes, and the other half, she goes, it's pure light. I said, what does that mean? She's like, you're supposed to be a healer. What? What? No. I'm a dance teacher. You know, I'm going to teach dance till I'm in my 80s. And she's like, well, that's what it's showing me. And I just left that session like bewildered. Number one, that I had proof that life exists outside of the earth realm. Right. And number two, that religion had tried to teach me or scare into me wasn't true. There was greater truths out there. And then to know that there was a part of me that wanted to help people in a different way, because I was helping a lot as a teacher. I was helping to raise people's children. I was creating a strong community. I was traveling with people all over the world, my students. But to do it in a greater capacity, it just coincided, because then when my mother-in-law got cancer, after like about 4 or 5 months of watching her suffer, I wanted to learn Reiki so I could help her. And so I did. And, you know, 2014, I got my level one. In 2015, I got my level two. And she ended up passing, but I did see her about once a week. And I just got to know her in deeper ways, because we had that time together, you know, and I got to provide her some relief from the pain she was having through the chemo and everything. And it was just all rolled into one, the ascension of my daughter, the Reiki session, the ascension of my mother-in-law. It was all perfectly designed, I think, by my soul to help me start to awaken. And that's what I've noticed with other people, is that usually there's some kind of trauma that gets you to start to question that there must be something more to living on earth than paying bills and working.
Yeah, I relate on two levels. So for the trauma, I do Bikram yoga, and one of the teachers told me a lot of people, they start Bikram yoga because they had a lot of trauma in their lives that helped them. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about your late miscarriage, yeah, I went through that also like 20 weeks, and it was really traumatizing. So as women, we, you know, I think most women go through miscarriages. And it's always something very hard to go through. And I'm very happy that your sister, mentioned you about Reiki, because I never heard about Reiki before, a few years ago. I didn't even know it existed. Mm-hmm. I never had a session. Maybe I need to start and see, you know, what it can do for me. But so what you talk about, that was your first experience the Reiki Masters, and that's what changed the course of your life, you would say.
Yes, because she had mentioned something about Egypt, which is not uncommon. I think a lot of us have lifetimes in Egypt, but I was fascinated with Egypt and Greece, and she just said, like, you're going to teach about Egypt. And again, I was like, that's that's weird. And so when I left, she just planted that seed. And so, you know, I just started reading books, started learning how to share Reiki. And through that process, I think I just did my own education. And I still own the studio. So that was like 2013 to 2016. And then I went to Bath, England, where there's a statue head of the goddess Athena there, also known as Minerva. And I have journals like I do now. I always carry a journal with me. And I just, as I was walking past her, I'm like 3 years into my spirituality, I think I'm able to just talk to my guides and receive messages. And so I look at her and I'm like, do you have a message for me? And she's like, of course. And this goddess I've loved since I was 11. Okay. Since I learned about Athens, Greece, I've always loved Athena. And she wrote that I was going to go back to Greece, because I've been once before prior to that. And it would be a whole different experience for me. And it was going to happen in a much quicker time frame than I thought. And so this was like August of 2016. And in that space, I sold my studio, I quit my job. Wow. and I was in Greece in August of 2017 by myself. My husband cared for my children. And I learned about Atlantis, because Athena came back to me in January of 2017. I hadn't sold my studio yet. And she said, your life is about to change, Priscilla. She's like, you need to start learning about Atlantis. And I was very dismissive. I said, why? Who cares? Like, what's Atlantis? Is just like some lost city people talk about. Like, what do I care? And she's like, because she's like, you're going to understand why you love Greece and Egypt so very much. And so I started studying about Atlantis. I read about 4 books in the span of about 4 months. And I consumed them. Like, it was just like, So when I went to Greece, this time in a more awakened state, every temple felt like home, every rock, every tree, every frequency of a god or goddess called me back home, every statue I had a connection to. It was probably one of the most beautiful 2-week periods of my entire life. And I stopped being afraid of what people thought of me, because I would meditate and people would be like, oh, what are you doing, channeling a message? I'm like, yeah, it's from Apollo and you're disturbing me, you know? So I just stood my ground, and I had my Reiki level 2 at that time. And I had life-changing experiences there. And then that, you know, because I sold my studio, I opened a healing space in my house. I started on a path of acceleration, I say, because my guides teased me at the end of 2017. They're like, so Priscilla, you have your level 2 Reiki. I said, yeah, I sure do. They're like, what else you got? Oh, okay. So in 2-year span, I got like my level 3, my master's in Yusui, my master's in Karuna, my master's in Atlantean and crystal healing. I did Atlantean healing in Texas. I did Egyptian shamanism. I took every course that I could afford, travel to, bought a book from, and I just dove in. And so I started teaching Reiki in 2018. And once you teach something, I think it really actually helps you understand the concepts in deeper ways. That's actually how I learn, is by teaching. I don't learn by learning. So it's really interesting, and it's just never stopped. And it's done is, like, I had a very wide thing of things I was offering, and in the last year and a half, 2 years, it's really centered back down to Atlantis, because that's what my soul wants me to do on this planet, is to really heal the trauma from Atlantis.
And how do you communicate with Athena or with your guides? Is it through meditation, or they just come, like, you channel, they go through you, like, you're running errands, or it doesn't really matter?
Yeah.
How is that?
I feel blessed, because I don't ever get inundated with things. I have to be tuned into something to hear it. And my greatest skill still remains hearing, and it's just like a knowingness. Mm. I didn't used to have strong visuals. I've never seen Athena, but I just know, like, I know when an energy comes in, I know that's Ganesh. I know that's Zeus. I know that's an Arcturian. I know that's Mother Mary. I know it's Yeshua. There's just these signatures that each being has. So I just hear it, and then I always write it. And that's why I probably have like 30 to 40 journals behind me of messages that I've written. I'm assuming at some point they might want to be a book of some kind of wisdom that wants to come through. But that's my gift, and I really like it, because I know a lot of people are bombarded with frequencies, or they can't sleep, or, you know, they see a lot of things, and I've never had that. So I said my soul designed the perfect gifts for me to enjoy. And even, you know, when I meet people, because I do a lot of readings, I love, I call them Atlantean Akashic Activations, which is an Akashic reading, but with a little bit of Atlantean magic in it. And people just say, well, do you know me? No, man, I don't know you. But if I read for you, if I get to be in connection with your soul, I'll understand if I know you, you know. But I figured, like, even with yourself, ladies, if somehow you're drawn to me, or to my picture or my voice or my bio, it's because we know each other from somewhere, and we're here to continue to do the work, you know. And I feel honored by it. I love connecting with all these wonderful people across our realm that know who they are, or almost know who they are. And it's like I get to drop in a little bit of crystal magic, and then all of a sudden they're stepping up. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's amazing. And we are, now that after you decided to become a healer and work, like, completely change careers, how did it feel with the family dynamics? Did it improve? You felt like, you know, handling your daughters, you know, husband and everything.
Yeah.
How has it changed for you?
One of the things that made me change was that my healing office used to be my dance office, right? Because I still worked from home a lot on administration stuff. And my smallest daughter, who was, let me think, she would have been turning 4. She was 4 around that time. I was in the middle of doing a lot of planning, recital planning, editing music, all this stuff. And she came into my office and said, Mommy, can you read me a story? And I said, no, time to read you a story. I have this and this and this and this and this to do. And her face got so sad when she walked out of my office. And I thought, how many times have I done this to my daughters? How many times have I picked my 300 students over my two daughters, right? So I had to sit with that. And then I realized I actually wasn't happy. Even though I loved what I did, I felt like I was a really good mom to 300 students and actually like probably 1,000 students over 20 years or more. But I didn't think being a really good mom to my own daughters. And so when I sold the studio and I had my first healing session at home in my room, I felt like I was free. And then I could do the things with my daughters. And that's part of what I do now is because of my personal beliefs in 2020, I wouldn't mask my children. So we pulled them from the public school system, which is what my oldest wanted the whole time. She always wanted me to homeschool her. And I said, I didn't have time. And so in 2020, I switched those gears and I'm a part of a homeschooling co-op, which means that they go to school with other kids some days and some days they're home with me. And we're really happy. And every Friday we get to cuddle and have breakfast together and watch a movie or go for a walk. These are things that I could only do in my off season. So I feel like I became the mother that they needed. I feel like I was always a good wife, but I do appreciate that I just have more time for my husband. You know, because being a dance teacher, you work at night all the time. So you work during the day on your business, and then at night you go and teach. So I would see my husband at like 10:30 at night, you know, 10:30 to 11 before maybe he fell asleep. It would take me a while to wind down. And then I would see him like on some Sundays if I wasn't working. So I would say our relationship, it just felt more connected. And I kind of missed out on some of those baby stages because I was working so much, and that I think everything is how it was supposed to be, but I have small regrets, you know, so that's why I do my best to be really present with my kids now. And I ask them to check me if I'm doing too much work, if I'm on my phone, like I really like to listen to them. Do you know what I mean? Like when we have dinner, we have dinner. When we're in the truck going to dance, they read me books. You know, that's part of our learning. We talk about things. We joke around. I feel like they're my friends, my really beautiful friends. And I hope I improve on the parenting that I received, because as we know, our parents have a lot of trauma, but they don't necessarily work on their trauma. So it just gets thrown on us. And I do my best not to have the trauma that I was a part of go on to my girls. So the comment I received the most about them is that they're abnormal because they're such angels. Like they have an incredible relationship. They're so kind. They don't scream. They don't, do you know what I mean? Like we don't have any fights in our house. It's a very peaceful house. So I think it's the best compliment. Like sometimes they're like, your kids are weird. I said, why? Because they never fight. I'm like, well, they disagree. They don't agree on everything, but they don't fight and get mad at each other. I'm like, well, what would be the point be though? You know, I don't do the same with them either. I'm stern when I need to be. Like they're not wild children, but I think because I raised them in love and they have their own gifts. One of them is very empathic. The other one is very psychic. So I encourage them, I help them, but I don't make them do anything. Do you know what I mean? If we want to connect to angels this day, cool. If we want to go for a walk in the forest and see if we can spot dragons or unicorns, awesome. If they don't want to do any of that and they just want to like watch a movie, no problem. You know, so they're great teachers because they forced me to slow down. And they still force me to slow down because I think I operate in a divine masculine way as much as I don't want to all the time. I think I'm just trained like, go, 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 go. And they're that reminder of like, mommy, we're so tired. Can we just relax today? Can we just cook something together today? Yes, let's do that. You know?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of women are in this go, go, go mode. And there's also that culture of if you're saying you're busy, it's a good thing. Which I don't get it. Why that would be a good thing to be constantly busy, not having time for your family, not having time for anything, like going out to work at 8 a.m., coming back home at 6 and barely seeing your kids. It's just like those precious moments that you have together. This years go by so fast. Next thing you know, you're already going to college. And then what? Like you're working so hard. You're just so busy all the time. that you didn't have those precious moments. Like you're saying about the phone, which is a big thing, like, you know, just disconnect. Let's like pay attention to them because they just want our attention. And a lot of times you forget to connect. So yeah, it's a very good point.
It feels so good though when we do, right? Like when we look back, you know, and I try to take them on vacation twice a year. If it's in my financial ability to do so, I like to vacation twice a year. And one is more for my husband and one is more for the girls. So my husband likes tropical, let's not do a lot vacations. My kids like exploring or they like theme park kind of stuff. So I just make it a point to be there with them. And even though my work is, I can take my work where I go, I do my best to have everything set up so I can have that full 10 days, 2 weeks off. Maybe I have to teach one class, you know, but they're already 14 and 12. It's gone by, as we know, like that. And they just kind of finished their childhood part. Like they've, all their toys have, you know, they kind of were going away, but now they're done. And I don't know, I'm on to the next phase. And I love being a dance mom because I think I'm a good dance mom. I'm not the crazy dance mom. So being a dance mom when you're a former dancer, it's so rewarding to watch your kids gain the confidence and understand what they're capable of. So now I'm like, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm their choreographer. I'm their momager, as I say. I'm their taxi driver. But I love it. I would never change it.
How did you find out about their gift? Do you think they were influenced by your new calling, or one day you just saw one of them talking to an angel in the backyard?
My oldest one started talking about angels when she was two, which I wasn't awake at that age. So I didn't wake up till 2011, and she would have been 2013. She would have been 2 in 2011. So she started talking about angels then, and she could see people's auras, and she would talk about different people's colors. And so as we, you know, as time went on, I'd say, well, what color is my aura today? And I would know what my own health was based on what she would see too, right? So that was nice. And then my little one, I didn't really figure out for a while until I had three clients in a row come in who were very empathic. And I was describing the difficulties my child was having in school. And they're like, that's exactly like I was. And then like 3 days later, I got another client. And they were like, they said that that's how I was. And I'm like, oh my God, this child is empathic. So, you know, kindergarten was okay for her in preschool. But when she went to grade one without me for like, you know, 6.5 hours a day, she was overwhelmed by the energies of everyone. And she has big energy and big emotions. She is been a force. I believe that the Talia that left me at 16 weeks, Milan is named for her. Her middle name is Talia. And I really believe that she has part of Talia's energy because this child has been like two children in one forever. And to know how big her emotions are and then to watch her shrink and have such a hard time at school, it was a gift that I think God brought me, that I had these clients that were mirroring to me, this is what happened. So for her, and then in 2020 was when COVID started, to have her home with me, again, that's what she wanted. They just wanted to be with me, right? They didn't want to be away from me. Like our old schedule was leave the house at 7:45, take them to school, pick them up from school at 3:20, drive them straight to dance, pick them up again at 9 o'clock, come home.
Oh, yeah.
So they had no time together and no time with me or their father. And that's one of the things they love the most. Like they just finished competition on last night. They had 3 hours of homeschool this morning, and now they're chilling right now, and they get to rest a lot. Whereas a lot of kids are like have exams to write and reports, and do you know what I mean? Like it's a really, they both love dance and the arts. This is what they want to do, so I'm here to support it. And I think rest is so important. So tomorrow I'm teaching one short class. And then we're just going to, I don't know, whatever we want to do. Do some math and probably go outside.
It's good to have a good balance. Definitely. Yeah.
It took me a long time to find it. Yeah. It wasn't automatic. Yeah. And I think I made a lot of what I would think are mistakes, you know.
But sometimes, you know, like you said, you know, it takes a big crisis or maybe not going all the way to rock bottom, but something happened in your life and this is where, you know, you said, okay, this is enough, I need to do something else.
And I think 2020 is a gift. I think the lockdowns, although I don't like the enforcement of them, I think they forced me to mm-hmm. change my life again, to look at, what am I doing? Why are my kids so busy? Why are they away from me all the time? You know, and I remember that lockdown, we did a lot of yoga, meditation, piano, yes. art, violin. Okay. We went baking. For walks. Yeah. And I said, okay, you know, it was in Canada, it was uncertain what they were planning on doing. And once they put that law down, bylaw, that to be masking kids as of August, I said, there's no way anyone's going to cover up my baby's faces and stop them from breathing. I'm like, no. And, you know, and that switched the whole system. And then I found a lot of moms just like me. And that was great too. And then my kids could be with what I would say are free thinkers, you know, and they grew
you found
a lot.
Your tribe. Yeah. Like yeah. People who think yeah. the same way. Yeah. I mean, those years for me were awful. And I didn't, like, I loved going to the gym and doing classes, and I couldn't do anything. It's just, like, just going for those walks, they were not enough. So, yeah, it was a challenge emotionally. Everything is like, wow, what a trial, you know, emotionally to a lot of us. It's just nightmare. Like, yeah. We should erase it.
I think the only good thing we got from that for people who were, at that time I was working for corporate, is that we realized, oh, actually, you know what, we can work from home. And after that, nobody wanted to go back to the office.
Oh, nobody wants to go back, yeah.
Yeah, stuck mm-hmm. in traffic and waste all that time, you know, driving. That's the only good thing. I mean, that's one of the good things from 2020 is that we can work from home. So
yeah, and we can do things efficiently in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
And be with our families. You know, like a lot of the Nordics countries, I think their kids go to school for 3 hours a day. The schooling is based on what are their interests. Now, to me, this is actually very Atlantean in prospect, which Scandinavia is a colony, many colonies of Atlantis. But in both of them, when a child is born, they have a signature. We would have in Atlantis tuned into that signature very quickly, probably within a month. And then we would have started gathering community that will help them. So this child is, you know, this child's amazing with their hands and is going to do woodwork or pottery. By the time they're 4 or 5, they're around those people. They're not in a technical school, but you apprentice, and you apprentice in what your soul's desire is. And so you have the basics of anything, you know, math and sacred geometry and understanding languages, but you don't have to dive into anything that's not resonant with your soul. For me, as an artist, as a dancer, as a teacher, as a spiritual teacher, I don't need to know what kind of clouds, I don't need to be tested on what kind of clouds those are. You know, and what the Appalachian Mountains are of Canada. I don't need to know those things, but yet you're graded on it. And, you know, for me, I did really well in school, but a lot of kids are taught that they're dumb. They don't fit in, or they need to be on this drug because you can't focus. But in Atlantis and Scandinavia, it's a short amount of time. And then I think for them, I think they're done, like I said, around 1. They get to play. Their education is being outside with Gaia, right? Being with friends, and then you eat supper together because there's no activities to run to because you've already done your activities. Like if my kid had that kind of schedule, and I would love if they could dance from 12 to 3 or 12 to 4, then we would have family dinners every night, and then they would be resting and in bed a lot earlier, you know, but dance doesn't end till 9:30. So
that's late. And yeah. I think also they don't have homework.
Yeah.
That's the yeah. thing.
I think it's Sweden and Denmark. They don't believe in homework. They don't believe in standardized yeah. tests. Yeah. And that's where I feel like North America, or at least the USA and Canada, it's all about the tests. Oh, you failed it. Oh, you didn't get a good enough mark. Oh, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss out on everything. It's like, I don't know, one test I took that helped me in my life. You know, like I went through university because my parents really wanted me to. I put my degree away when I moved my offices. I'm like, it's not even important to me. I literally don't do anything with it. And even now, my mom wishes I would go back to university to become a professor so I could be a teacher at a university. I said, but I am a teacher. in like a university of like my own mystery school. It's really incredible. But you could do it at a university level. But why should I pay for a degree that might cost me like $100,000 to teach people that only want to get into my class for credit so they can go and get their diploma when I could have people that pay me, no money to the university, pay me to teach them exactly what my soul wants and their soul wants. Like, it makes so much more sense to me. But sometimes my...
And actually, when you're talking about this, what you're offering, the courses you offer, what is the... Because we saw on the website as well about the Temple of Atlantis and the Golden Atlantean healing modality. What is that? Wow. It's also interesting.
To me, Golden Atlantean healing comes from the golden era of Atlantis. So it means it's a full embodied experience. It's healing your mind, body, soul, emotional body, mental body. It's a deep connection and sacredness to your ancient self, knowing that you've lived many lifetimes on this realm and others. And it does remarkable things. My clients will always say they feel so peaceful. Sometimes they say that they're floating in water. And then usually within 2 weeks, they're making the same kind of changes that I started making, you know, after my first healing sessions. But for whatever reason, I really believe that my body and my soul emits a golden ray. And the golden ray is a connection to God, to Source, to Sophia, to love. And it's always about healing. It's like it's knowing the power within. So as a healer, we should be very clear. So I don't heal anybody, but I hold the space and I pull things up and I allow that person to see it and feel it. And then they have to realize the work they have to do, right? The person that worked on me, she didn't tell me to quit being a dance teacher. She just said, you're supposed to be a healer. And that was enough for me to be like, why? You know, to be curious about it. So a Golden Atlantean healing is my signature, but I switched offices and I no longer have an in-person space, which that happened in September of just this past year. So now I can only do healings online. And I thought I was going to be sad about it, but honestly, I heal from my bathtub. I share healing heal from my bathtub because I take a deep, a hot bath almost every night. And I do them a lot shorter than I used to. And I use my crystals that I'm wearing, and people still love them. You know, and I tried to kind of save that kind of stuff for my students that are really a part of my school and a part of my programming, because it does take a lot of energy from me. Whereas the public, I still have readings open for people. But I think my students devote their time to me. I really want to give them something special, you know.
Only readings online. So people.
Yeah, I have a few clients in Edmonton that are very sad that I no longer see people in person. But you know what? After, what was that, 2017? So after 7 years of having people in and out of my house, which is my personal space,
yeah.
Now I feel like, again, I'm making a change for my family, because now it's just me and my family space. It's no longer like I do have a really beautiful bathroom downstairs. I have to say it is a temple of Atlantis that my father built for me. And I used to offer women baths in there after, because, you know, a lot of women with young children, you don't have any peace. Kids are always banging on the door. And so it was like a haven for them and they loved it. But now it's just my personal haven, you know, and I still share healings, but nobody else physically is going in there. And it feels really good. I have a cat. I never used to have a cat. I don't want her escaping my house when people come over. They're allergic to her. So
yeah,
there's just some kind of natural change that's happened. And sometimes we grieve the parts that we really liked. Like, I love teaching dance. I love the in-person sessions. But now this is where my life is pointing me. And I find once I let go, it always comes into greater abundance and better flow and easier gifts, you know. And I host retreats. And I think for my international students, that's how we get to meet. If you can meet me in Egypt or in Greece, or I'm going to Greece and Turkey this year, if you can meet me there, imagine the joy we're going to have in being physically together. And now I get to put my hands on you and put my crystals on you. It's like, you know, it's anticipation. It's wonderful. And I love those things.
And that concludes part one of our conversation with Priscilla. I hope you found our conversation as enlightening as we did. But fear not, we'll be back in 2 days on Wednesday for part two. We hope that you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to leave us a review. Your feedback helps us improve and reach out to more listeners. I wanted to do a very quick shout out to our friends in Netherlands, Mexico, Australia, and Costa Rica. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening today. May your journey towards spiritual fulfillment never end. Until next time, keep learning, growing, and exploring. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest.